Hey, I'm Cody from Unqualified Gamers, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
It's time travel, baby! Hello, I'm your host of Voices Defiance, Stargate Pioneer, my friends call me SP. And with me is the woman who just couldn't get enough of the microphone. Her name is Shannon.
Hey, guys.
Hey, today we'll be taking a little diversion from our normal Defiance talk, and we'll be talking Season 4, Episode 1 of Continuum, Lost Hours. Just a reminder, you can catch us at GunnaGeek.com and go to the contact page to find all the great ways to reach us, or you can use our voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751. Now, we do have a couple of Voices of Defiance announcements out there. Last podcast, the podcast number 46, we did announce the fact that we have a Redbubble store, don't we, Shannon?
We do. Created by Sean.
And it's really just our logo, and I'm sporting my teacup this morning. I wish it was a little bit bigger, to be honest with you, but I'll just have to get the travel mug that way. But
I've got the stickers coming, because, you know, me, I got to have stickers.
For your car?
Of course. I'm out of room for them, though, so I got to take off some of the old ones that are kind of dingy looking and
peeling off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But I've got some extra Defiance ones coming too.
Yeah, you know what? I do need to get a Voices of Defiance shirt. I'm going to do that. And I think you got one for the New York Comic Con, right?
Yeah, I've got one coming.
Okay.
But I'd say, off Redbubble, I ordered this Defiance shirt and I ordered stickers with it, multiple stickers with it, because this shirt that I ordered, it has the complete logo on it and it has their faces on it, which to me, that's someone's going to discover this pretty soon and take it off because that's copyright. Which is why when you look at our logos, you don't see the faces, right? You don't
see
their, you know. So I snatched that thing up because it was a great shirt and I want those stickers everywhere. So I'm hoping it'll still be there come Christmas time so I can get me a hoodie.
Uh-huh.
Because I love hoodies. So hoodies, t-shirts, and stickers, that's my collection.
I like the zip-up hoodies, actually. Like Mr. Rogers?
Yep. I have a Stargate Atlantis zip-up hoodie.
Ah, sweet. So, lots of stuff there. You can go to Redbubble and search for Voices of Defiance. You will find our logo there. And also, we have been tweeting our hearts out on Defiance Renew, hashtag Renew Defiance, and still no news on that yet, is there, Shannon?
No news. No news at all. Dang it.
But I have noticed, I've commented on a couple of the cancel or renew blogs out there on different websites, and there is 100% support for renewing Defiance. I mean, it's even today, they're still coming in.
I think we're going to get it. I just, for some reason, I had
this
hope.
Get it.
Yeah, we're going to get it, baby. No, I think we're going to get renewal. The only thing that worries me is that just like last year, we lost Mikardo and Pottinger because of the late renewals and the contract wore out. So I know already that our contracts are either out already or about to be. So
I'm not sure
we're coming down to a wire.
Useful they would have been last season of Defiance, really. I mean, they went in a completely different direction.
Well, maybe they went into that direction because they lost people. Yeah, I don't know.
Could have been. Kevin Murphy did a great job. I loved
He did an excellent job.
Loved the last episode, too.
But, I mean, right now, here we are going into, we're almost at the end of September, right? So
end of September. It's September 13th. We're not even halfway done with the month yet. And I think last year, I was looking at the news stories. I believe it was September 22nd of 2014 when it was renewed for season 4.
See, that's the problem. Most of their contracts went out at the end of August. So it took them another couple of weeks to get renewal. But that puts them right back into the winter of Toronto.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen? I wish and hope we get a season four. But if we don't, I'm fine with where it ended. Unlike other shows where I'm like, I can't believe you ended this way. So
now see, here's something from in the past. I know we lost. Well, let me back that up. We know we lost Trina. And then they decided to keep her, right? She said that in the interview.
Oh, from the episode that right. She was. No, we weren't going to lose Trina. We were going to lose Doc Yule. And a clone right. was going to take her place.
Right. But I know from talking with other people, because I have resources, that we lost another character. And then they changed the mind at the very end, which I am internally.
Gee, I wonder who that character, after watching the episode, okay, it's painfully obvious.
It was painfully obvious who we lost, who we were going to lose. And then they changed it. So go back and take a look at it. You'll know who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to say the name. So that would have been incredibly stupid to lose that kind of character.
It would
I'm
been.
So glad that they didn't. But think about it this way. If they filmed it one ending, one way, and that person thought that they weren't coming back, then here they are going out and getting other gigs, right? So that's what worries me with the renewal. If they take too long, you're going to lose these people.
It does take a while to get another job. It really does in the actor realm. They just can't go out and say, oh, I'm going to score this thing. They pretty much know one way or the other if they're going to do it. And if they're unsure, they'll look for opportunities within the network they are so that the people that are casting will talk to each other, or at least the network executives, because the casting decisions do go up to the network. So I think it'll be fine. We'll see. In another month, we'll know one way or the other.
I tell you, the other day, it was a couple weeks ago, I put a Renewed Defiance meme out on Twitter.
Yeah.
And Friday, Tony retweeted it onto his page, and oh my God, it's been favorited 101 times.
I know, my phone was going crazy, man. Can you stop doing that? I need my phone.
So it's been favorited 101 and retweeted 40. And then about 20 minutes later, he did another one. He did another one of my memes.
Yeah.
So my phone has been going crazy. So much to the point that I had to mute it completely.
Exactly.
So I woke up late yesterday morning. I had to do the heart walk in Dallas, right?
Yeah.
So I was supposed to get up and pick up some friends at 6:30 in the morning. And they're like, 6:56. Where are you at? Crap. I turned my phone off because my Twitter goes off on my phone.
Right. So
thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. He's been retweeting some of my stuff, some of Voices Defiant stuff. It's been great. Been noticing.
Has he?
Yeah. I mean, I've been noticing him. I watched him on Vincent and the Doctor on Doctor Who. I know you don't necessarily watch Doctor Who, but I've been watching him there. And then I also saw him on X-Men First Class, which I podcasted about last week on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He was an X-Men?
He was one of the Men in Black in X-Men First Class, yes, back in 1962. So it was fun watching him with an American accent, short hair, in a suit, in a black suit. It was fun.
You know, I still to this day, my favorite role that I've seen him in is Marcus inside of Underworld. That is the most badass vampire movie I've ever watched.
Very talented guy. We're honored to have him retweet us and interact with us. Thank you very much, Tony. And talking about Tony, did you see all the great stuff coming out of Dragon Con?
I've seen a little bit of it. I retweeted the video someone had made of the panel.
Yep.
I retweeted that yesterday.
Mm-hmm. They actually had four panels. They had a panel.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had a panel Friday. If you look on the schedule, there was a panel Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So they were going strong. Now, I don't think all of them were there for all of the panels, but I think that they did have people available multiple times. And I don't know if it was to engage the fan base to see if they should renew Defiance or if they were just like, hey, you know, as long as we're here for the whole weekend, might as well do something besides just signing, right? So I think it was great. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of the panels. I didn't actually see all of them, but I did see.
I haven't watched the panels yet, I guess.
Did you see Jesse with his lightsaber as
I saw that one.
Yes, Tony. It was just a short video. Tony did a video of Renew Defiance to a packed panel.
Yeah, I retweeted that one.
Yeah, and then
I think I retweeted on Voice of Defiance.
Jesse was running around with his lightsaber.
But did you see why he was in that sword? Belongs to Stephanie. At Dragon Con, I think 2013, there was a group of girls that they gave Jamie a scepter and a crown, you know, she's the queen of the unicorn queen, whatever, right? So they queened her, right?
Okay.
Well, she wasn't at this Dragon Con because last two ones, when Dragon Con comes around, she goes to Burning Man in Nevada. So they made Stephanie. They knighted her, and there's a whole video of it. It's awesome because she's down on her knees. They're knighting her with this lightsaber, and, you know, she rises. And Stephanie's like, Jamie, I hope you're watching this. So it was so cool, but that is where it came from, because later on Stephanie posted a picture and it showed Jesse standing beside her, and he was completely jealous that she got a lightsaber.
Of course he was. He's probably the geekiest kid out of the bunch. I mean,
he was.
They're all geeks, but yeah.
Dude, I want that Battle Cat lightsaber so bad.
That you saw at Dallas Comic Con?
Yeah, well, they're there every year. I don't know if I'd trade a kid, but I would definitely trade a husband.
That's okay. I'd trade him off too.
Oh, it was awesome.
So tell you what, for next time we come on, if we do another one of these, which I think we will, but we'll see. I think we should both watch the Dragon Con panels and then talk about it.
Awesome.
All right. So in the meantime, we're going to switch gears. We're going to go over and talk to Continuum. The reason why we're here this time, this is the, you know, they title the episodes after time, each one. It was right. Like seconds, minutes, and
revolutions.
Right. And now we're in hours for season four. It's the fourth and final season of Continuum. There is only six episodes. And they're tying a bow off on this thing. And it's getting a little complicated, a little dicey. So we're going to talk our way through this because,
you know, we're going to mumble our way through this because I've been watching Continuum since day one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I loved it. I never could get Sean to get into it, which is why he's not here today. But it's hard to understand and dissect. Because you're like, just when you think you understand what's going on, you're like, what the heck just happened?
Yeah, I know. I watched it twice, and the second time through, I took notes. First time through, I was like, oh, this is cool. And I didn't do any prep. I had the last episode of season three on my DVR. I keep the last episodes of the previous seasons on my DVR so I can go back and watch them before the next season starts. Well, of the shows I watch anyway. So this one is on my DVR. I watched a little bit of it, didn't get all the way through it, got sidetracked with other things going on. And so I had to jump into this cold and I was like, what the heck is going on? I didn't understand what was going on. But by the end of the episode, I think I understood most of it. So we will see.
I watched the last three episodes of last season on Netflix yesterday. But I didn't get to watch it this morning. But with me, sometimes, unless I do it late at night, which I would have passed out and I would have watched it at all, and I would have remembered anything last night. But I had to do it with one or both of them sitting next to me. So it's a lot of pausing. It's a lot of, shh, mama's watching TV, or go play in your room, and pausing again. So
it happens. It happens.
Dang it.
The benefit of having kids around, it's great. And soon they'll be hooked on the stuff too. You know it.
I know it. I'm training them.
Well, okay. So are you taking them opening day to Star Wars, or at least
Kayla? Sean is taking Michaela.
Yeah.
Carrie's still young. She's still too young to go to movies. She wouldn't sit still.
No, she wouldn't. So yeah, that's going to be great. That's going to generate a whole new generation of sci-fi fans.
Well, she watches Star Wars Rebels with him now.
Oh, that's so awesome.
She watches the cartoon. She knows it when she sees it. She knows the characters better than I do, because I don't ever get to sit and watch the cartoon with her like he does when it comes on, because I'm at work.
It's an amazing show. You should watch it.
I have seen some of it, but what I'm saying was when it comes on, I'm normally at work.
No. You need to go back and watch it from the beginning. It's one of the better shows on TV. It's just amazing the stuff that we're getting these days.
So he's training her right on Star Wars. I'm working on Star Trek The Next Generation with her.
Oh, really? How's she taking that?
Honestly, she's like, Mom, does it have Jamie in it? No. Well, matter of fact, we're watching Continuum because she goes, look, Mom, she looks like Jamie. I'm like, yes, she does.
Get her excited about Patrick Stewart. I mean, he's a hunk, sort of.
Yesterday, I wanted so bad. Carolyn from Twitter, she sent me a picture of a t-shirt that said, there are four lights. I'm like, I need that shirt.
There are four lights. Yeah, an amazing episode when Picard is getting interrogated by the Cardassian.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we're working on sci-fi with her.
Okay.
It's going to have
this. This is a little advanced sci-fi, though. It's turned into a great series. I've enjoyed every bit of it. The time travel got me to begin with, and Rachel Nichols has just been fun to watch.
She's
really
fantastic.
It's amazing. And this episode, with all the we'll get to it in a second, but all the action was just, oh, it was so great. And the technology and the CGI and stuff, it was awesome.
You know what's cool about Continuum for me is that being a Stargate fan and knowing that a lot of this, you know, because it's in Vancouver, right? It's filmed in Vancouver, and you see the you see the same pool of characters that apply for all the other shows up there, right? So you're seeing, but it's also being directed by Amanda Tapping on some of the episodes. So you're getting to see Stargate characters, you know, the guys that play the characters. You're getting to see, what's his name? I can't remember. Brad? He played on Sanctuary with Amanda.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name, but yeah, Brad was there. Roger Cross, right. Who's in Dark
Roger
Matter.
Roger Cross.
Yeah. And Roger Cross is also in Arrow, by the way, on the CW network. So he plays a minor character. He plays the chief of police. He was a detective. He played the detective Lance's partner on Arrow.
I just think it's cool that you get to see these faces that you recognize from all these other shows because they're all up in the same area applying
then,
for these shows.
Gosh,
but they're wonderful actors.
What is her name? I'm trying to remember her name. She was in Helix, Kira Zagorski. And she plays one of the main characters on Helix, and she is Vasquez now on Continuum. It's like, oh, and she's a badass with that mech suit and everything.
She was one of the super soldiers, right?
Yeah, she's
called super soldiers, but
oh, those super soldier suits are like straight out of Halo. It's awesome.
And then you get to see him step out of them in the back. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I want one of those.
I know. That's how you got to get in and out of it. And the energy weapons that destroy half a wall every time you fire them, like concrete wall, 12-inch thick cinder blocks.
So now we see finally, because they're from her own timeline, that her little indivisible suit doesn't work on them. They see right through and they blow out of the sky.
Yes and no. I mean, visually, no, but they have to be either using their tech on their sights, on their guns, or in their suit to see the distortion. Yeah.
You'd think she'd be walking on bruises by now because she's been knocked through the walls at least three times that episode.
How many times did she get knocked out and shot and had to do the back arch as she's getting blown across the room?
So the first time she gets knocked out and then she goes back. Okay, was that real? Was she actually obviously
That's
not.
A great question.
That's a question. Was she dreaming because her CMR is taking her back and she's seeing...
Well, now remember the doctor, right? The doctor who played Gaeta on BSG?
Right.
Yeah, he is the simulation in her CMR to help somebody through a head trauma. And he showed up and that's when she knew that it was not all right and okay. But it does bring up a good point. Are we indeed going forward now or... are we stuck in a dream world a la
Dallas?
Because
they said it was 7780. I mean, no, 2080. So now you're 3 years ahead of time from where she was when she left. So when she's laying there in the hospital
You know
bed,
why they had to do that, though? I was thinking about that after the fact. And this is kind of funny.
Because the kid is
grown
exactly,
real life. The kid. It's been 3 or 4 years, so you have to make the kid bigger.
You know, and I hope... let me tell you something. I have never... It may mean absolutely nothing, but I have never trusted her husband from day one. Okay.
No, nobody has. And he wasn't even in the room.
He wasn't. He knew what was going to happen to her. So.
Well, when he sent her back. No, he did not know. Remember, if you go back to the previous scenes that are around that the chamber, he is adamantly trying to get his wife out of there.
Oh, that's right. The cigarette smoking man, which is what I call him. And I know he has another name here. He is Adler, I guess.
Old Alex. No, I was talking about her husband. Her husband.
Right, but
okay.
I'm just saying, the old guy, he knew.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't trust her husband.
No, nobody does. And it could just
She's definitely better off with Brad.
Yeah, okay, two different timelines. We're getting down into complexities here. Now, the timeline that exists. Okay, so let me back up a second. She wants to go back to 27-7. That's the whole premise of her actions in this episode. It doesn't exist. Her future does not exist. The future of Kellogg ruled world exists in 2077 because that's where those soldiers came back from. So,
and that's and he's the seer, right? That's the old man in the dreadlocks that they keep showing his face in the shadows. That is Kellogg from the future. That's what I think, anyways.
Really?
Seen that? You know what I'm talking about? Leah, look at his face.
No, I thought you were talking about the guy with Chen, but yes, the guy that
I am talking about the guy with Chen. The guy that they called the seer that was kept up in the room by Catherine.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's Kellogg.
Oh, well, he was standing next to Chen at the end there when Chen was talking to Garza.
Right.
And that is one big dude. I don't think that's Kellogg.
I do. Huh. I think that's Kellogg from the future.
But he's huge. He's like 2 feet taller and about 3 feet wider.
I don't know. Things happen in the future. I'm just saying, I'm just putting
it. Are you saying you got to go to the future to make things bigger?
Bigger is better. Maybe the future's better. I don't know. I'm just saying, put it in and down now for the first episode. I think the seer is Kellogg.
All right. That was awesome seeing old Kellogg in the hologram with Kellogg at the end. It took me a couple watches to figure out it was indeed Kellogg. I'm just like, who is this? Is this a new player? No, it's Kellogg from 77, 2080, something like that.
But you know what? The reason I think that's Kellogg is because I was watching one of the other episodes. It's the episode from the end of season two where Catherine got killed. Remember that episode? Where they go in and they break Alec out.
Yeah.
Right? So, and he goes in and he kills kills Catherine, and he goes in and releases the seer. The way he looked up at the camera, I don't know. I just, to myself, I'm like, that makes sense. That's him. That's him. And I'm like,
could
oh,
be. Could be. Okay.
I have something one up on the show, but I could be completely wrong.
You have one up on Barry Simon, huh?
It's an accomplishment just when you can figure things out. You're like, okay, I understand what's going on now.
That's true. And talking about Barry Simon, he is the executive producer and creator of the show. He did write this episode, and also it was directed by Patrick Williams, who's also a Continuum executive producer. Patrick is going to direct four of the final six, the first two and the last two. I already saw that on the list of Continuum episodes. So we're going to get some serious continuity here. I think they want to wrap a nice bow on it and get it out with the vision that they had in their heads from the beginning. So that is awesome. And if you look at their IMDb's, they both have significant creds, starting off as crew and cameraman years and years ago, all the way up to where they are now. So we'll get that in there. Okay. So, gray hair. Everybody's got gray hair. How did that happen? It's only been 3 years. Like Carlos, he's mostly gray. Kellogg is going gray. I mean, all these actors are, I think it's a conscious thing. Like the time war is actually weighing on them physically, and their streaked black hair that they all had is now gray in 3 years.
I can imagine
just 3 years.
The physical pull of going through time travel.
Yeah, but Carlos didn't do any time travel.
That's true. But he is sexy with gray hair. Let me tell you, Carlos, I always forever will see him as Uncle Coop from Charmed. That is where I first saw the man.
Charmed is the very next series I have to watch with my wife, by the way.
You haven't seen any Charmed?
I've seen a few episodes here and there, but I've not seen the whole thing front to back. My wife just recently discovered it on Netflix and just streamlined it. We were going to watch it together.
I would say once you get past maybe the end, I don't remember how far Shannon Doherty was in it, but it is better without her. Some people will disagree, but Shannon Doherty played Prue. She played the eldest sister. But
and Ryan said, for me, he's from Mutant X.
Ah, yes, yes.
That's Ryan-y in the chat. Thanks for joining us, by the way, Ryan.
But still, you know, Uncle Coop, I think he's sexy.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to go back and watch that and catch that. That's on the next thing to do. And the quid pro quo, by the way, is I'm bringing my wife through the MCU. So she is on halfway through The Incredible Hulk. We kind of... It was stormy and we had to turn the electronics off or else we're going to lose them. So we only got halfway through that. So that is the next thing to pick up. And then it'll be episode 3 for me because I think I got the first two episodes of Charmed down.
Yep. Yeah, they're all on Netflix.
Yep. At least for now. So hopefully I'll catch them. Okay. So this alliance, Chen is playing both sides, right? So he goes to Kellogg and he said, okay, I want to team up with you. And then he goes to Garza and said, oh no, you need to take him out now.
Better put him down because he's getting in my way. But see, think about that. Chen is working for the seer from the future, right? Which is still, if I'm correct and it's still Kellogg, then he's trying to steer the current one to where he needs to be.
Right. It's interesting. We just got did they start in season 2 or season 3? I can't remember. With the Time Lord Chen group.
Well, he was killed in season 1. And
yes.
You didn't see him return
until
season 2.
Yes.
So it was at the middle of season 2 when things started going, what the heck just happened?
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
So, and then we got the flashbacks back to 2076 or whatever when, Braytek. What is his name? Oh, can't remember. The old guy. Jillian from the future, really. What was his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Okay. I know. Yeah, because he played in Stargate.
Yes, Braytek in Stargate. So he got Chen and said, look, you know, we need to take this. I need you to do something for it. Or was it Roger Cross? I can't remember. One of those two were telling him to go forward. Yeah, but it's kind of weird. We've got Liberate working with Alec, working with Jillian. And they are three very independent entities. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, this is, haven't seen this for a long time, if ever.
You know, I liked at the end. See, that was the cool thing about...
Kagami. Got Ryan in the chat.
That's,
got us.
That's
Kagami.
Who it was. And I can't remember his real name.
I'm sure Ryan will let us know.
It doesn't matter. Somebody help us out because I'm drawing blanks on names. I'm seeing faces. But I liked at the end of the second season, that episode where she, where they put the, where Garza put the nail through her foot. Oh my God.
I know.
Somebody needed to be hit hard. But I like the relationship that she's forming with Brad. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes now because they threw her off the roof and he just stood there.
Well, what is he going to do?
Obviously, he couldn't do anything, but damn, there goes your girl.
I mean, so I don't necessarily think he's playing both sides, but he had to activate that communication device and he knew it was either going to be goodness or that those super soldiers were going to come through. And once those soldiers came through, he's like, oh, crap, what do I do? And he saved her initially because they ran away. But then he had to align with them and he had to do basically what they're telling him to. And on one hand, I feel for Brad. On the other hand, it's his future. I mean, they're trying to save the future and they might actually have the best chance out of any of them to correct all the wrongs. Now, I think at the end, I think we're going to get a happy ending. We're not going to get a bleak future. Like a BSG end of season three, whatever.
Well, you know, at this point, I don't think she should go back.
Well, she can't.
You know, what'd be funny is at this point, they're always, this entire series, they're talking about going back in this time device. But why can't they just go forward and bring Sam to her?
Because he doesn't exist right now. That future is gone. She can't go home. They have to fix it.
Yeah, they changed it when they get rid of the other Alec. That's right.
Yeah. So, okay. So I just want to say this, Alec. Can't coin the term time travel team six. Loved it because they were awesome.
That was great.
And Emily at the end, the last thing, last of my notes is Emily is abducted by who? What's going on?
Yeah. Who took her? She's a badass character.
Was it the super soldiers that took her?
I think it's Kellogg. He's trying to find a way in to get Alec.
Maybe.
He's trying to find leverage because they weren't super soldiers. They weren't. And I know that's not the real name of them, but that's what we're going to call them. Halo soldiers, I guess we can call them that. But I think that was Kellogg's men getting him.
Kellogg's men and not Marcella's?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Alec tagged into his stuff, right? When he was having his party. Okay. So
Emily is pretty skilled. I think if it was Kellogg's men, she would have gotten out. I do think, I'll have to rewatch it, but I think they were members of Time Travel Team 6. I think that's the way they actually got her. Otherwise, they wouldn't have. But they'd had the taser. They wouldn't have had a taser in the future because they had those energy weapons. I don't
know. We don't know, but we've only seen one episode, so it's all a guess.
How many times can one woman disrobe in a public area? That is odd with Kira taking off her clothes all the time.
Why does she always have to have the thing on? It's pretty cool. She just takes her off her shirt and her whatever jacket and just leaves it on the rail.
I know. It's awesome.
You can imagine how many clothes items she loses because she never goes back for it.
I know. She could take off those clothes anytime. But better not have a wallet in it or any form of identification, whatever. She did grab that one pen, and I think she took it in her suit. So I think she still has that, and she's going to give it back to
She hid it away somewhere before she took the plumbage off the roof.
Yeah. Oh, and then the force field that saved her, is that the same force field that deflected the bullets in the tunnel that one episode? Season two or season three?
So. Yeah. She turned it on with her arm.
Yeah. Awesome. Bring it back. So, I can't wait for the next five episodes. This is a very exciting series, and it's something that I don't have all the answers to. It's not cut and dry.
It's not. You can't. See, like right now, we're all over the place because it's so much stuff that's in my head from watching the episode, but that's just the best way to do it because there's so many things that you can't.
Right.
Can't keep track of it.
We are definitely a week behind the Canadian episodes because they started a week ahead. Actually, the premiere was leaked on, well, it wasn't leaked. It was placed on the space.com, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't know if it's space.com, but the Space Network on August 24th. So it's been out for a while. And we just saw it a couple days ago here in the States. So we will be a week behind the Canada if we do continue. I think we are going to try to continue this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be a week behind the Canadian release.
Six of them.
I know. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to have fun into October and into the fall TV season. So do you have anything that left you want to say about Continuum?
You know, I think they've done a wonderful job. I like the idea of these characters. I like the show. It kind of reminds me of the Bionic Woman. You remember that show?
Yeah. The revision ones.
The revision one. It lasts a little bit, but she almost looks like the women almost look the same.
Kira?
You know. Yeah.
Well, Kira's been a redhead on G.I. Joe, and
I remember seeing her in that.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing I've seen her in, actually.
She's been in a few things. I really enjoy her.
But you know what? And I say this about every show that you get involved in. You're like, I can't imagine it being played by any other person than her, because she is just so...
Well, for her...
Badass.
She is badass. I mean, she had to be an action star coming into this. And I don't know how much of the stunts that she does herself,
I do. I know she does a lot, because, like, I've been following her since day one on Continuum. Because, like I said, I've always watched Continuum. Sean has never got into it. He's like walking through the living room, whatever.
I thought he loved it because it was time travel.
He didn't like it at first. He might like it. He might tolerate it now, but it's not his show. He doesn't watch it.
Yeah.
So, I know.
Did he see this episode with the mechs and stuff? This is totally his show.
I doubt it. He recorded it for me, but I don't know if he's seen it. But I like the idea of the show. And I also, what I like most about this show, well, with any sci-fi show that I like that I can't figure it out within the first couple of minutes. I like that it creates a challenge for me that I don't say, I've already got this figured out, because it's like any other show that you watch on TV. It's not. Continuum is completely different, and you have to stay on your toes. You have to pay attention to it, because otherwise you're like, what the heck just happened? And mid-season two, I went, what the heck just happened, a lot, because I had to rewatch it, because it finally threw me off. And that's what I like about a show. I like that you can't just figure it out in the first couple seconds, because then it's not entertaining to me anymore.
So Ryan in the chat, I totally agree with you, by the way, but Ryan in the chat just said something interesting. He said, Rachel Nichols's hair, Kira's hair, is a wig this season. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I haven't, but I haven't studied it either.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah, that was what was getting me back to what I was talking about. I've been watching it since day one, and I've been following her since day one, and I know that she had to take all these lessons and fighting skills to complete her task to do this show.
Yeah, they all had to. Emily, played by the Caprica alum. Oh, I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Ugh. I want to say it's not Lexa Dog. That's
I can't remember their real names.
I
can
know.
See their faces. Like, who's the girl that plays Garza?
She's got it like a Croatian name, Livia Peterson.
Yeah, that's what it is. I know that she's been shadowing for most of the second season. She shadowed Amanda Tapping on learning how to be a producer.
Oh, awesome.
So there's several interviews that I've watched with those two, with her talking about how she wanted to be on the camera side of it. So she was following and shadowing Amanda Tapping through most of the season.
Yeah, so Emily is played by Magda Apanovich, I think.
And all right, Emily, that's what we're going to call
her. Yeah, right. She's from, I first remember her from Caprica. I don't know what her IMDb says. The Green Inferno, The Butterfly Effect, Dead Souls. So, yeah, she's been around for a little bit more than Caprica, and I enjoy her. So, really good cast. I think if this would have caught on a little bit more, I think they would have taken 7-8 seasons, but I'm glad they had the 6 seasons to wrap it up. So, it'll be the next 5 episodes will be fun. It'll be a fun ride. So, that's all I have for this week. We'll be back next week, maybe? Yeah, okay.
Hopefully through one of these Continuum journeys that we're going through, we'll hear the news of Defiance.
Exactly.
Sci-fi freaking killing me.
Then you'll have to drag Sean back. We'll have a little renewed Defiance section.
Tiny sci-fi, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Killing us. All right. So again, next time we're going to be talking about season 4, episode 2, Rush Hour. And that's it. You go find our contact information at GunnaGeek.com. We do have the voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1 or 612-888-2751 if you want to talk Continuum, if you want to talk Defiance, if you want to talk sci-fi, this is the place to do it. So, that's it. Until next week, I'm Stargate Pioneer.
This is Shannon.
See you guys later. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was pretty good.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesODefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com. Or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Triumph video game Defiance. Music titled after The Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hell bugs.
Gas is so cheap right now, it's $1.85, and I filled up twice, so that's not bad. $20.
Oh, wow. It's almost $3 up here.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you live in oil state, so I would assume it would be cheaper down there.
Yeah, Texas, I guess we could, if we were to ever pull out of the union, we have our own oil.
Yeah, you do. You don't have a lot else. Sustain ourselves. You got a lot of that. Cattle and oil, and that's about it.
Beef and oil.
What kind of beef?
Beef. I got to fund my con habit somehow.
Yeah, you do.
Because I'm going to New York Comic Con in less than a month.
Yep.
In less than a month, I will be in New Jersey meeting up with Sophia.
That'll be fun.
And then I'm so hoping. They're still announcing. They just announced yesterday that the Marvel people are coming to Comic Con. And I don't know if it's the actual people or they're just having Marvel booths or something. I don't know. But it's, of course, it's on Friday and I'm only there on Saturday.
Okay.
But they mentioned Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. And I'm like, please let Haley Atwell come to the Comic Con.
Yeah, she's been making the rounds, although she might be filming right now. I don't know.
But they did announce that Claudia Black was going to be there.
Nice.
So I'm super excited for Claudia Black. They've got the Firefly crew, you know, so I'm going to try to get an autograph by Gina Torres because I've got everyone else's. Well, I don't have Nathan's, but his freaking autograph's $90.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a big liner. He's a big hit. So, but every day they keep announcing more and more, so I'm praying that there'll be somebody for Defiance there. I would really love to see it, but, you know, I doubt it's going to happen, but what better way to
promote? Depends on if they renew it or not. If they do, there might be a chance that they send somebody.
Every day that I tag Sci-Fi, I tag New York Comic Con also, because, like, we learned from, who did we interview that we learned from that you have to be asked?
It was Trina.
Was it? Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
That they hadn't been asked to go to the Comic Con.
It was Trina.
So, I make sure I tag New York and Sci-Fi. Get to asking. I want my people.
Watch your peeps. That's awesome.
My peeps. It'd be awesome to see Trina again. It's cool that she was at Dragon Con.
Yeah, it was. I should have been there, but oh well.
I wanted to go to Dragon Con because Joanne Kelly was going to be there from Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
And that seems to be the only place that she makes an appearance at. So hopefully next September. But that was also the beginning. That was only McKay the second week in school, so I couldn't get off.
Yeah. Lots of stuff going on. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.